Hallelujah. Praise his name. Praise his name. Hallelujah. Oh, praise your name, oh God. Hallelujah. We worship you, Lord. We worship you, Lord. We worship you, Lord. We sing you, Lord. We sing to you, Lord. We sing to you, Lord. We give you our heart, our heart, our heart, Lord. We need you, Lord. We need you, Lord. Hallelujah. Oh, Jesus. Hallelujah. 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 Let your wind blow, God. Let your wind blow. Let your wind blow. Spirit of God, we need you. We need you, Spirit of God. Hallelujah. 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 To the altar,
the Father's arms are open wide. Forgiveness was bought with the precious blood of Jesus Christ. Oh, come to the altar.
The precious blood.
Oh, yes, God. Hallelujah. Hallelujah.
Come to the altar. The Father's
arms are open wide. Forgiveness was bought with the precious blood of Jesus Christ. Come to the altar.
Jesus. Lord, we worship you. We worship you, Lord.
Leave behind your regrets and mistakes.
Yes, God.
Not today, there's no reason to wait. Jesus is calling.
Oh. Amen.
Bring your sorrows and trade them for joy. From the ashes a new life is born.
Hallelujah.
Jesus is calling.
Praise God. Praise you, God.
Yeah. Oh, come to the altar. The Father's arms are open wide. Forgiveness was bought with the precious blood of Jesus Christ.
Oh, yes. Hallelujah. Nothing better than the precious blood of Jesus Christ. Hallelujah. 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 Thank you, Jesus. 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 Hallelujah.
Thank you so much.
Father, we just take this moment. We've been soaking, Lord. We just feel it, Lord, the Spirit of God. Lord, I love when we can read about the Spirit of God, but when we experience the Spirit of God is exactly what we need. It's what the doctor ordered. And we thank you, Lord. Thank you, God. We take the word and apply it. We let it rub into our lives, Lord, and we feel the soothing touch of the Master's hands, the Father's arms wrapped around us. Oh, God, there can be no greater place, Lord. The comfort that we feel, the joy, the experience, the longing that we have to be on your lap, Father, and just to enjoy you, Lord. God, that's why we come to church, is just to enjoy you. We come as a body of believers, Lord. We come just with our life circumstances. We come with everything that's going on and everything that's happening around us, Lord. We just bring it to the altar.
Yes.
We bring it to the altar. Where else could we go, Lord? Because you're our hope, our strength, our stay, our existence. Lord God, we need you every day of our life. I praise you, Lord. I praise you, Lord, for these experiences we have in you, Lord. That's what keeps bringing us back. Keeps bringing us back, Lord. We remember, Lord. You gave us those moments. You gave us those times. You gave us the healing. You gave us salvation, Lord. You gave us your mercy. You gave us your grace. God, we keep coming back, Lord, because we know where the good things are, Lord, where all the good gifts that comes down from the Father of lights. We thank you, Lord. We thank you, Lord. We thank you, Lord. God, bless, bless. God, we don't have to walk to an altar. The altar is all over this church. I feel the altar all over the place right now this morning, Lord. Thank you, Lord. Thank you, Lord. Thank you, God. We give you praise. We give you praise. We give you praise. Thank you, Lord. Thank you, Lord. In moments like these, we just lift up our hands. We lift up our voices. We lift up our lives to you, Lord. Hallelujah. Thank you, God. Thank you, God. Thank you, God. Thank you, Lord. Whatever you've been doing so far, Lord, just seal it. Seal it. It's like putting something in an envelope, Lord, a letter. Then you seal the envelope. You put a stamp on it and you send it. God, we just thank you, Lord, that we come in here like an open envelope. We had the letter from God. We had that note from God, and we just got it in our heart, Lord. Thank you, Lord. We hold on to it. We seal it there, Lord God, that experience this morning. We seal it, Lord. And we thank you, Lord, for that experience in you, the blessings in you, Lord. Oh, hallelujah. We long for more of these times, Lord. We are in the last days, Lord. We are in the moments just prior to your coming, Lord. So we're getting ready for heaven. We're practicing, Lord. Getting ready for those moments with you, Lord. Hallelujah. Praise you, God. Praise you, God. Now as we go to your word, Lord, we just ask the leading of the Holy Spirit. God, we know that your word is powerful. It's sharper than any two-edged sword. And so, Lord, we come before you this morning, Lord, just ready to experience something from you. Something new, a touch. God, whatever you want to do. Speak to us, show us, guide us, lead us, Holy Spirit.
We need you right now. Thank you for your presence. In Jesus' name we pray. And everybody said, amen, amen, amen. Praise God. Hallelujah. Amen. Hallelujah. Come over here, Elvis. Good job.
Oh, thank you.
Amen. Hallelujah. Hallelujah. You know, I love our time of worship and the songs we sing. You know, they are things that sustain us. You know, Betty and I were traveling by the Dairy Queen last week, and we felt a prompt to go in, but we didn't. We said, let's wait till the warmer weather. You know, then and kind of the two go in conjunction, you know, warmer weather, Dairy Queen, you know, so you put the two together. And whenever we go in there, like our favorite is the peanut butter parfait, and that's what we like. Somebody said amen? Oh, okay. It's good stuff, yeah. So we go in and get that, and it's always sad when you come down to the last peanut and the last little bit of chocolate syrup and ice cream. And I turned to Betty and, wow, that was good. Too bad it came to an end. You know, it's kind of like when you come to church, isn't it, and worship time, and you're down to the last peanut or whatever we're in. And that's why I think that, you know, we deserve church. We need to come to church. It's like going to the Dairy Queen. We need to come and get our fill and just to soak in God's presence and just to enjoy Him. Amen? And so praise the Lord for our worship team and all they do to prepare us and get us into this place of just worshiping God. So are you ready for the Word? I was coming down this morning and listening on the radio, and there was a guy talking about evolution. And it was kind of an interesting the part he was talking about. You know, if you believe in evolution, then he was saying that really everything is coincidental. Is that the way you look at it? Everything happened by chance. Nothing made it. There's no design, no creator, nothing. It just, you know, a tadpole, a monkey, you know, an amoeba, like however you want to look at it. It's the kind of something happened, and by chance, it all happened to be. And really, he said, when you look at evolution, there is no purpose of why it started, and there's no purpose why it should ever finish. There's no purpose in it. And I thought that was real. You know, that's true. When you believe in evolution, nothing in this life has any purpose. Nothing has any hope. And I was listening to this coming down, and I said, God, thank you that you have given us hope and purpose and longing and a drive and this love for you, and that you created us. We are your creation, and we've been created to praise you and to long to praise you and everything that happens in our life. Aren't you glad that God moves in our life? Nothing happens by coincidence. And everything has purpose in our life, and I thank God for that. You know, I was looking at my Webster's Dictionary, a couple of words that came my way this week. Woke up this morning, and there's one spelled T-R-A-D-U-C-E, traduce. It means to expose to shame, expose the falsehood, expose the misrepresentation. And I thought that was really good. Another word that I looked at was propaganda. And propaganda means to receive information that is biased and try to make us lean towards another way. And that's what the world is trying to do. Prime Minister Trudeau, as many things that he's trying to do is to quiet the church, bring the message of the church down, to allow those things to happen. And we need to pray for our Prime Minister. I'm not criticizing. I'm lifting up his voice so we can pray for him, that he needs prayer. Yeah, he needs God. He is moving against the creator of this world and some of the things that he's doing, and he better be careful. So we need to pray for him, that he and his family, that God would just minister to him and bring him to that place of love and grace and mercy. Hallelujah. I was reading this to the men's fellowship yesterday, and I know that the WM always say that what happens at WM stays at WM, and we've taken that motto now too, the men. Like what happens in the men's fellowship breakfast, it stays in the men's fellowship breakfast. So wives, when we get home from our breakfast, don't ask us what went on, okay? Hallelujah. But bacon and eggs, yes. Hallelujah, that's what went on. You can still smell it when you come into church. But I read this, and according to the neurologists, our brains have a storage capacity of approximately 2.5 petabytes. I figured John would be able to tell me what petabytes was. All he could tell me yesterday is it's bigger than a gigabyte. So I thought, hey, that sounds reasonable to me. I'm not a computer geek, so I wouldn't know. But it sounds pretty big to me. No. But that's the equivalent of recording 300 million hours of high-definition television. Simply put, we, up here, have the capacity to learn something new every second of every minute of every hour of every day for thousands of lifetimes. Did that just evolve? Or was that created that way? I think it's fantastic the way that God made us. And so they say that we won't run out of hard drive space anytime soon up here. And the 3-pound supercomputer inside our craniums run on less power than a 20-watt light bulb. Amazing, isn't it? Hallelujah. We are wonderfully and fearfully made in the image of our God. So we've got something to praise Him for this morning. Amen? Amen. Praise God. Kids, have they headed off to Sunday school? I don't know if they've headed off, if I saw anybody streaking along or not. I didn't see that. Anyway, praise God. Good to have you in church today. Let me just put this up for you. I wanted to show you this. Oliver Wendell Holmes, one of my devotions this week. I just love some sayings that you read. But the great thing in this world is not so much where we stand as in what direction we are moving. To reach the port of heaven, we must sail sometimes with the wind and sometimes against it. But we must sail and not drift, nor live at anchor. Live at where the anchor goes down. Amen? Praise God. Would you open your Bibles with me to Acts chapter 1, please? Acts chapter 1. Does anybody know what this is back here? It's an amplifier. Amplifiers do what? Amplify. They make to be louder than what they are. So if we took an acoustic guitar, just played it here, it would have a volume to it. But if we put a pickup on it and plug it into an amplifier, then it becomes louder. And it's good. So thank God for an amplifier. Now, I thought I would this week, you know, as we're going back to Acts chapter 1, and as I said last week, this is like a big bowl full of cereal. You can have lots of stuff in here. You'll never get tired of this meal and these three verses. It's power-packed. It's got lots of stuff in there for you. And we haven't even touched the surface of some of the things in there. But I thought I would read you the amplifier version this week, okay? The one that gets loud and long and stretched out and bigger and everything else. You know, it's kind of good to read different translations, right? So I've got the amplified version up here this week. So here's how it goes. In the former account, which I prepared, O Theophilus, I made a continuous report dealing with all the things which Jesus began to do and to teach, until the day when he ascended, taken up, after he through the Holy Spirit had instructed and commanded the apostles, special messengers whom he had chosen. To them also he showed himself alive after his passion, his suffering in the garden and on the cross, by a series of many convincing demonstrations and unquestionable evidences and infallible proofs, appearing to them during 40 days and talking to them about the things of the kingdom of God. Isn't that great? I think that one of the songs that these disciples could have sung back in that very moment was, "Every day with Jesus is sweeter than the day before." And can you imagine having the resurrected Christ with you and having that? As I look at these whole moments that the disciples had with Jesus, in Jesus being resurrected from that grave, from that tomb, I look at these moments and I wonder if the 3 years in which Jesus went about doing good before, prior to the resurrection, I wonder if in those 3 years prior to that very moment, if Jesus went about doing good is when the disciples got to know Jesus, but the 40 days after the resurrection, forgetting forgetting these to not know him, but to know his work. I was wondering that, you know, is this what Jesus is trying to do? Because they were trying to get to know Jesus and everything he did, but here they are in these 40 days, and now I believe that Jesus is trying to get them to understand, this is what I came, this is the work, and you must carry it on. I wonder if that's how it went. You know, Wednesday night Bible studies, we're really having a great time talking about the subject, the case for Christ, in projecting what the faith is worth to us and why we know there is a Savior and that his name is Jesus. There can be no more urgent question at this present time in our world than just to have people understand, what is Christianity? What is Christianity? You know, I believe that people need to know, what does it mean to be a Christian? What does it mean to walk for the Lord Jesus Christ? What does it mean to be saved and set free? And that's what we're trying to get to in this whole documentation on Wednesday nights, the case for Christ is are you able to refute with somebody who comes up and said, what is Christianity? Are you ready for an answer if somebody said, what's Christianity to you? Or would you go, let me call the pastor. Would you be able to tell them what Christianity is? Who the Lord Jesus Christ is. I mean, we're supposed to be able to give an answer to those people in those days because I really believe that the gospel is the only hope for our world. And if we can't give the word in that hope and verbatim to the people around us, when what use are we for the Lord Jesus Christ? You see, I've looked around the world. Everything else has been tried and found lacking. Everything else in this world has failed. It hasn't done it. It hasn't gone the test of time. You will not find hope with the philosophers or the politicians, those people that Paul came in contact with, and the Sadducees and the Pharisees. We will not find it in the so-called religions of our world. Here is hope and here alone in the Lord Jesus Christ, and that's the only place you'll ever find it. And if you have not found him yet, hallelujah, what a Savior. You can find him today. Amen? Praise God. Thank God for the Lord Jesus Christ. Don't you love opening up the words of this book of Acts? The more you read them, you find it's like a hammer. It just keeps hammering home and driving things home into our heart and to our heads and deeper truth for the Lord Jesus Christ. You see, I believe that the days that you and I are living in are very significant. Very significant, very important. We treat special days with very honoring. We take all those days and we say, oh, that's my birthday, that's our anniversary, that's this, that's that. We take the special days and we honor them. I believe that we need to get back to honoring ordinary days because every day we live with Jesus is getting sweeter than the day before. Amen? We live one day at a time and thank God for every day that we live for him. We are breathing, living, moving, having our being. All because of Jesus, not because of evolution, but because of Jesus. Amen? So the disciples have those moments and days with Jesus for approximately 3 years, following him, watching him, listening to him, participating with him. The Savior's moments here on earth, they must have been thrilling for him. All those disciples as they walked for Jesus. You know, that song, John, every day I live. You know, that's not him, okay, just in case. Yeah, I think of every day like we live for Jesus, that all those songs we have. I love daily devotions, and they allow us, as we get into daily devotions, to realize that when you open that devotional, you know, it's not just a boring time. This devotional is trying to let you to understand this day is special, that this day is meaningful if you were to regard it with Jesus. And as you open your devotional, you should say, Jesus, this is something I want today. This is a nugget of truth that you're giving me. I know that man just put together a devotional. It's inspired to help us get going in our day and everything else. But we should treat that as something honoring to the Lord and say, God, I take this devotional, I open it up, and I read it today. And God, help me as I read this to understand things that you want to do in my life and the walk that I have for you in this day. In this day. That's why they're there. They're trying to encourage us in those moments in that day. So that's why we call every day special. You may call them ordinary, but they're specially ordinary. Amen? And they're good for Jesus. And even though that we're not living in the New Testament times, we are living in the now for Jesus. There's really no difference. We don't have togas and sandals on our feet, but he is here. He is here. Hallelujah. Every time I say words, I think of songs. I don't know what it is. You know, I just get all these songs in my mind. But you and I cannot afford to live a life like Thomas, wanting to touch Jesus physically. Jesus wants us to touch him spiritually, right now. He wants us to touch him spiritually. See, I believe that Thomas needed to have his attitude rearranged, is like what we have in our lives. When Thomas finally got to see the resurrected Lord Jesus Christ, he was very specific, you know, as coming to the Lord Jesus Christ, but he was coming with his eyesight, not his faith sight. He needed to see. He wasn't believing until he saw. He was commanding his eyes to be his faith. And we've got to get past that place where our eyes are our faith. It's our faith sight, not our eyesight, that controls us. That's why when he walked up and looked at Jesus, he says, "My Lord and my God." Thomas didn't have an ordinary day. He had an extraordinary day. He was changed that day. But it seems like in all those inadequacies of these disciples, they needed something extra. They needed something more. Can you say more? More. Do you need something more today? Are you happy with what you got? I always tell God, turn on the tap. I just want the tap flowing, flowing, flowing. You know, will it go on any harder? You just kind of keep pulling on the tap and you want more. You just get so thirsty. And so I want more. Do you want more? Say more. I want more. Praise God. And more, yes. Hallelujah. This is the more section. Right, Les? Hallelujah. The not the poor section. Oh, okay. Good. The porch. Hallelujah. Inside joke, sorry. So as I said, these 3 years with Jesus for these disciples, what else could be said? What else could be done? Like, you know, you walk with the Savior, and so here he is for 40 days. And I look at the 40 days, what else could he do? He's shown us everything. He's shown his grace, his mercy, his healing power. The power of God came and demonstrated through the Son upon planet Earth in these 3 years. And I look at these 40 days like, you know, what else could be done? I just look at that, and I kind of wonder at times. But here we see in these moments because something more was needed. And I think that if they were to the place where they thought that they were adequate now because Jesus was here the 3 years and they were okay, they needed more. And if you're here today and you're thinking that I'm adequate, this is where I am, I'm doing good and everything else, and you think that you've fully arrived at that place, I want to let you know we all need more. We all need more. And get rid of that thinking that you've got to the place where you don't need any more. Get to the place where you need more. You need more. See, only 50 days between Calvary and Pentecost. Someone once said, Calvary was for us. Pentecost is about us, going out into the world. It's in us. And in those 50 days, which is the 40 days that Jesus was still with him, he allowed himself to be seen 14 different times with 14 different groups. First with Mary Magdalene, came to the grave. Second, with certain women who came to the grave. Third, Simon Peter got to the grave. Fourth, the men on the Emmaus Road, they met with Jesus. Fifth, the 10 that were in the upper room waiting for Jesus to come, and he came through the walls, the partitions, the doors, everything else. Didn't open them, he just came right in there. They saw him, and they felt the presence of the Lord Jesus Christ. The next time he showed up, Thomas was there. The 11 were there. And some critics, when they look at Thomas, they wonder why Thomas hadn't believed the disciples when they said Jesus is risen from the grave. You know, I don't know about you, but sometimes when people tell you things, it's hard to believe. Isn't that right? Now, if I was in this group of 12 disciples and following these 12 for these 3 years and watching these other disciples, listening what Jesus says to these disciples, "Oh, you of little faith. Oh, Peter, you know, get thee behind me, Satan. And one of you is a betrayer," and everything else. Listen to all the words of Jesus coming down upon all the disciples and then watching them. I mean, and then Jesus even telling Peter, "You're going to deny me before the rooster crows." You know, and then getting to the place where Peter walks up and says to Thomas, "Guess what? Jesus is alive. Aren't you the guy that betrayed him and turned him down and swore and cursed and said that, you know, you don't live for him, you don't love him and everything else? Aren't you the guy?" And maybe Thomas was looking around and seeing James and John, you know, sitting there. And if these guys told Thomas that Jesus was alive, can you imagine? You guys were the only ones that ever wanted to be important in the kingdom of God. You want to be first and everything else. Why should I believe you? You know, I started thinking about all those inadequacies. And Philip, you know, and Philip walked up to Jesus many times and said, you know, "Show us the Father." And Jesus even said to Philip, "Have I been with you so long, Philip?" You know, what I believe Philip, perhaps Thomas thought. How about Matthew, a tax collector? Would you believe a tax collector? Come on, honestly now. So as he looked at all these guys around the room and knowing what happened in the last 3 years, and they say Jesus is alive, would you believe them? So, you know, we get on Thomas's case at times, and Thomas said, guess what, guys, I won't believe until I see him. Won't believe until I see him. When a person is serious about the Lord, they will find him. When we're serious about finding Jesus. When Thomas saw the Lord, he responded with, my Lord, my God. And so these words, as we start into Acts chapter 1 here, the first part of Acts is in an incredible mouthful, as I said last week, full of scripture. It's chock full of good, good, good. He's a good, good father. Amen. It's good stuff. All that Jesus began to do and teach. I like that because for the sole reason, Luke is drawing our attention to Jesus. I like when people draw us to Jesus. All that Jesus began to do and teach, Jesus. All that he began to do and teach. We could almost take these words as a testimony as to where we are right now in our Lord. I often think about that because have you ever been told you should plug your own self into the Word of God? Plug your name in there many times. John 3:16, I've been told, plug your name in there. Just, you know, put yourself in there. And as I look at this scripture, I was reading this line, all that Jesus began to do and teach, all that Jesus began to do and teach in Russ Bates's life. All that Jesus began to do and bring to that fruition in my life. And I think that sometimes we read the Word of God as a distant land, as someplace off in the far galaxy or something like that, you know. But this Word is something, I mean, can you imagine, like, instead of looking at these disciples and all that Jesus began to do and teach in their lives, what are you experiencing? Are you feeling all that Jesus began to do and teach in your own personal life? Are you feeling that? Are you experiencing that? Are you enjoying that? All that it began to do. He's not finished with us. All he began to do and teach us and show us and demonstrate to us. And he does it every day. So every day is not an ordinary day. Amen. And so I look at this Jesus. He displayed to this whole world this life that was pleasing unto the Father. He often talked to the Father. In John chapter 17 is that wonderful prayer. The whole chapter is Jesus talking to the Father and just solidifying those moments in his words and talking about how these disciples you gave to me, I'm giving them back to you. Father, here we are working together, going back and forth. And it's a wonderful thing as you look at this. And so Jesus is telling that everything he was doing was trying to please the Father. Everything we do should be trying to please the Father. He was led by the Holy Spirit. Luke chapter 4, verse 1, led out into the wilderness by the Holy Spirit to be tempted. And Jesus formed a team and led them by the power of example. Power of example. That's a powerful thing, isn't it? An example that we have in our lives. We all know about the power of example. You know, when we raise kids, you really got to watch yourself, don't you? You know, where did you get that bad habit?
Oh, Daddy, you do it.
You know what I mean? And I can remember when my dad was alive when I was a young boy. He was a smoker, and he smoked at the kitchen table, smoked at living room, smoked everywhere. Smoke filled our home, and probably I've got enough secondhand smoke in me to burn the world up. I don't know, but I had a lot of smoke in me. But he used to sit there smoking, and I look at my dad. You know, you look up to your father, and we'd go down to the store and buy those candy cigarettes. I want to be like my dad. Then when I got to be a teenager, I got past the candy and try to say, I don't know how anybody could smoke these days. I can remember smoking in those days, probably two or three cigarettes. I thought I was going to pass out. And I said to somebody else, do you inhale these things? They said, yeah. I felt the whole world just going around like this. But it was the in thing back when I was a teenager. I've told you before, I used to have a T-shirt on. I'd put a package of Export A, kind of ram them up into the T-shirt there. You know, I never smoked them. I just kept them there for image. You know, I just thought that's the way you had to be, is to walk around your T-shirt with a package of Export A in your T-shirt. I can remember somebody walked up to me one time and says, can I bum a smoke? Oh, okay. You know, you pull it out and you gave it to him. He says, wow, these things are awful. How long they've been up there? You know, 4 years. But the power of example is—it's amazing. You know, you and I have a testimony. We're walking, living examples for the glory of the Lord Jesus Christ. That's why Paul said, "Imitate me as I imitate Christ. Follow me as I follow Christ." And that's what we do. And people are watching us, and they ask us all kinds of questions. You know, do you read your Bible? Yes. Well, you better be reading the Bible then, if you're telling them that, right? And they ask us, I like reading the Bible because mainly it encourages my life through all the things that I go through. They actually say to you, do you actually pray? Yeah. And we've got to show them that we do pray. Like when you go into a restaurant, just don't. You know, people look, they see that. Bowing for the moment that we pray over our food everywhere we go, pray. So I like praying because it helps me. Sometimes I just need to talk to somebody. I just need to get into a place where I just need to, God, the world is going crazy. I need to talk to you. And I'm so glad that I've got a father, that he listens to me, and I just need to get aside. You know, sometimes I love my wife, but I just can't talk to her at times because she wouldn't understand what those things are in my life. You understand that? You know, when you've got a spouse, they know, oh, something's going on here. Okay. And we know that they just, different wavelengths. And sometimes even a friend or somebody that we talk to, they just won't understand. We need to go to the Father. He understands. He understands. He understands. So when people look at us, do you pray? Yes. I tell you, I need prayer. I need prayer. I need prayer. We need to come to prayer on Friday night too, because something's going to happen. Amen. Praise God. We need prayer. Then they ask you, do you really go to church? I need church. I need church. I would not be here today if it were not for the church. I would not be a pastor today if it were not for the church. I would not have the strength and the friendship. I mean, Betty and I look back at some of the churches we pastored, and we still talk to a lot of people from other churches. We have a big family all over the place. You know, people we talk to and loved ones that we have, you know. And I've often said that, you know, our kids are living down in Hamilton. Our son is in, and his wife are in Coburg, and they're miles away. We don't see them, but we see you every day. And we've said, Betty and I have often talked about, this is our family. This is our family. We come in here. We hug each other. We talk to each other. We see each other. This is our family. And why we need church. I need my family. I just like to get in here and get with you folks. And here, George, you inspired me today. Those ribs are cooking. Amen. Those ribs are going, man. Keep them cooking. Hallelujah. Praise the Lord. And Elvis, you did a real good job up here. Praise God. Keep singing for the Lord. And we all make mistakes. Don't worry about that. Just put it behind you and move on. Hallelujah. That's what the family's all about. We ignore the mistakes anyway. We just keep going, Elvis. Keep going. Elvis is in the house. Amen. Hallelujah. Praise God. Hallelujah. So we just love all those things we do. Yes, we're Christians. We're imitators of the Lord Jesus Christ. We do, on and on it goes. We are a living example of the Lord Jesus Christ. Amen? We are a living, walking, talking Bible, living for the Lord Jesus Christ, and we're a testimony for Him. Praise God. His disciples were always there with Him and for Him till they deserted Him at the time of the crucifixion, and you'll read about that in the prophetic message of Zechariah, but only to reunite with Him and to realign themselves with His vision in these 40 days. In these 40 days, they needed to get back to that place where they had fallen off and get back in. And if you've fallen off, get back in. Get back in. Let God realign your vision. Get back into that very place where you need to be this morning, if that's exactly what you need. Amen? And because of these 40 days in Pentecost, they would become people who would turn this world upside down for the glory of the Lord Jesus Christ. This 40 days, projected to the 50th day, the day of Pentecost, is what's going to change the world. Amen? They had great days in the Lord, and so do we. So do we. We can't look at the Bible and say, wow, that was awesome for them. No, it's awesome for us. It's awesome for us every day that we live for Jesus. Did you know that just coming to church is a great day? Amen. Coming to church is a great day. Coming to Wednesday night Bible study is a great time. Amen. Oh, I didn't hear as many amens there. Coming to Wednesday night Bible study is a great time. I know some people can't make it, but some can. Amen. Coming to prayer meetings. It's a great time. Hallelujah. Why? Because these are things our Savior recommends to us. It's our diet. It's our way of living. It's things we need in our life, and so we need them. You're struggling in faith? Get to church. Get to church. Get to prayer meeting. Getting all these things. Read the book of Acts again. They gathered together. They came together. They had things in common. They broke bread together. They were a powerful church. They worked together. They were members with each other. They were moving in that strength of the Lord Jesus Christ. So this is a day that the Lord hath made. We will rejoice and be glad in it. This is a day that the Lord hath made. We will rejoice and be glad in it. Amen. So we have these verses recorded to us by Dr. Luke, who puts in all his documentation each special moment, each special event, each special day, documenting everything that Jesus did, all he began to do and teach, documented to you and I. Did you know, and I said this to the guys, and guys, forgive me, I know what happens in men's fellowship stays in men's breakfast, but I just wanted to share another thing with them, because I really believe that as we sat around the table yesterday as the men, that did you know when you use the words of God, when you have the Bible in your heart, it's going to make you a better employee at your work. When you adopt the Word of God into your life and you bring it in, it's going to make you a better employee at your work. And I said yesterday, you know, when we use the words of God, it will make our marriages better. When we allow the Word of God to touch our marriage, it will make the marriage better. It will, if we allow the Word of God to come into our families, it will make our families better. When we use the words of God, when we come to the place of coming to church and we come into worship and we use the words of God, if we allow the word of God to do something, it'll take us deeper in worship. It'll take us deeper in worship and praise and adoration for the Lord. It will give us more freedom as we use the words of God to allow us to come in and praise him and exalt him and lift him up. And you will begin to experience freedom that you've never, ever experienced before, just to worship him and spirit and in truth and adore him and lift up your life into him and just travel into that very heavenly place to worship God. Isn't that the place that you want to be? Amen. To worship him? Praise God. When we use the words of God, you know what? He's going to take our attitudes that stink and make them better. Amen. When we use the words of God, make them better. And if we use and apply the words of God, it will change us on the inside. It will change us on the outside. Our mind, our thoughts, our feelings, our emotions, everything else, our hearing, our senses, everything about us will be changed if we apply the word of God. So thank God for the word of God. We should never take the words and teaching of Jesus for granted. I'm sure in these 40 days, the words that Jesus was speaking cannot be taken for granted, because he was doing something in his church that had scattered and bringing them back. Of all that Jesus began to do and teach, seeing and hearing Jesus, what he did, what he spoke, it is awesome in the eyes and the understanding of Dr. Luke. He says, I got to put this down. This is interesting. This is powerful. After the resurrection, Jesus stayed for these 40 days. Wow, 40 days. And before, Jesus was going into all the areas, Capernaum, Galilee, every place he went, he was going about doing good, says the word of God. And now he was taking 40 days, gathering together these disciples and teaching them. No longer traveling to all the cities and all the places, but bringing everything into their hearts, their lives, and preparing the church to be the church. Amen? Praise God. I mean, he had already began opening their eyes, their minds, to the understanding of the Old Testament about himself. You go back to Luke chapter 24, you'll read that. Remember the two on the Emmaus Road, it says that, and they said to one another, did not our heart burn within us when he talked to us on the road and while he opened the scriptures to us? This is the resurrected Christ. It almost seems like it takes a resurrection to open scriptures to us, doesn't it? When you start looking. I mean, this guy, 3 years, Jesus was with them. Now he's resurrected and the scriptures were opened. What happened? Scriptures were there before. Now it's open. So I guess it only takes the resurrected Lord Jesus Christ to open the scriptures. I don't know. I don't. That's just my theory. But when he appears to the disciples, something else happens of all that Jesus began to do and teach. In Luke chapter 24, he said to them, "These are the words which I spoke to you while I was still with you." This is in chapter 24, verse 44. "That all things must be fulfilled which were written in the law of Moses and the prophets and the Psalms concerning me." And this next line is precious. "And he opened their understanding." This is the resurrected Jesus. "And he opened their understanding that they might comprehend the scriptures." Isn't that great? Jesus, risen from the grave, says again the scriptures, which I know that they probably talked about many times before the resurrected Jesus. But here he says, "And he talked to them, and he opened their understanding that they might comprehend the scriptures. Then he said to them, 'Thus it is written, and thus it was necessary for the Christ to suffer and to rise from the dead in the third day, and that repentance and remission of sins should be preached in his name to all nations, beginning at Jerusalem. And you are witnesses of these things.'" Wow. What a powerful portion of scripture, Luke chapter 24, verse 44 to 48. Sounds like they needed something in their lives. Sounds like they needed to get back to some multivitamins in the Lord Jesus Christ, amen, to get them there. Jesus appeared and he disappeared during those 40 days, and the believers never knew when he might show up. You know, is Jesus here today? No, he came in last night. You know, they're just showing up. I mean, isn't that the way we're living right now? You never know when he's going to appear. You never know. He could come. I showed you last week, tomorrow, the April 23rd, they said he's coming back. That'd be nice. How was the ride? Good ride? Good. Legs are all strengthened. Hallelujah. But he spoke these things, and it's excellent preparation for the church, because these days were soon coming when he would no longer be on earth to instruct them personally, as he was then. In my study of these words in verses 1 to 3, I zero in on things. I don't know what it is. It's just this ability, I guess, whether God's given it to me or not, I just feel I need to zero in on things. I don't know about you, I zero in on things. If somebody walks up and they give me five sentences, but somewhere in the line there they said they're sick, I hear the sick. I didn't hear that, you know, I went to Tim Hortons and I drank their coffee and I became, no, I didn't, wouldn't say they became sick because they went to Tim Hortons, you know. But I mean, I hear the word sick in there, you know, and I realize that they have a need, you know. It's nice you went to Tim Hortons. Nice you didn't get a speeding ticket for driving so fast and all that. But then they're all of a sudden they're sick, and you hear that. And so as I look at the words here in Acts chapter 1, verses 1 to 3, I zero in on things. I go along, and all of a sudden, bang, something just hits you. Have you ever felt that when you read the Word of God, that just something stands out, and you kind of say, I've got to need to give more consideration for this. But I was taken up with these words, taken up. I was taken up with taken up. You know, as I looked at those words, and I thought, that's kind of cool. Taken up. Until the day he was taken up. You know, I believe there's something meaningful here for us to understand. Until the day he was taken up. And so I paused there as I was looking through these verses. And for this Theophilus, who this is now the second account sent to Theophilus. The first account was the Gospel of Luke. And you need to recall that Luke ended his gospel in the gospel account with Jesus being ascended. And now he's giving more details. And Theophilus would remember those important last words of Jesus spoken to the church before leaving, also from that gospel of Luke. And so these words, taken up, until the day he was taken up. This must be very important to understand, that this is the moment that Jesus goes back to the right hand of the Father. The right hand of the Father, his rightful place of the right hand of the Father in heaven, forever interceding for the church of the Lord Jesus Christ, until the day he was taken up and sat down at the right hand of the Father, and forever interceding for the church of the Lord Jesus Christ. I believe there's something in those words, he was taken up. you know, we are not left alone, but he was taken up. And in those 3 years with Jesus, Jesus forewarned his followers of all the things that Jesus was about to face. He went through it. You read in the scriptures in Mark chapter 8, it says that he began to teach them about the Son of Man, that he must suffer many things. He would be rejected and by the elders and the chief priests and the scribes and be killed, and after 3 days rise again. He said that many times to them so they could understand this is what the mission of Jesus was all about. He's going to suffer. People are going to reject him. He will be betrayed. He will be taken before the magistrates. He'll be put upon a cross. He'll be whipped. He will be ostracized. He'll be mocked. He'll be lambasted for being the Savior of the world. He'll be placed on that cross, nailed to a cross for you and I. He will bleed. He will die a death upon a cross between two criminals, we're told in the Word of God. And there he died, and he said, "It is finished." And he went to a grave. And he told all those things to his disciples. He told them all. As a matter of fact, he would be taken up as a part of his message as well. Did you know that? A lot of times we just read the cross, we read the 3 days rising from the grave, but he told them he'd be taken up. This is part of the prophecy that Jesus gave, and we don't often think about that. As the more I looked at it, I said, yeah, that's part of the Word of God too, and we often ignore that. It must be something important here, because it says in Mark chapter 16, verse 19, "So then after the Lord had spoken to them, he was received up into heaven and sat down at the right hand of God." That must be important. Luke chapter 24, verse 51, "Now it came to pass, while he blessed them, that he was parted from them and carried up into heaven." Must be important. Acts chapter 1, verse 9, "Now when he had spoken these things, while they watched, he was taken up. And a cloud received him out of their sight. And while they looked steadfastly towards heaven, as he went up, behold, two men stood beside them in white apparel, who also said, 'Men of Galilee, why do you stand here gazing up into heaven? This same Jesus who is taken up from you into heaven will so come in like manner as you saw him go into heaven.'" Acts chapter 2, verse 32, Peter, in that great sermon on the day of Pentecost, he said this: "This Jesus God has raised up, of which we are all witnesses, therefore being exalted to the right hand of God." Being exalted to the right hand of God. This is part of their ministry, part of the message of the church of the Lord Jesus Christ, being exalted to the right hand of God. Acts chapter 7, verse 56. Remember Stephen, when he was taken out? They couldn't stand Stephen because he loved Jesus. He just worked for Jesus, did everything for Jesus, and they couldn't stand him. And then he stood up and preached the message to them about all the whole gospel, right from Moses all the way down. He preached to them, and they all started picking up stones and started stoning Stephen. Acts chapter 7, verse 56 says, where Stephen looked up and says, "Look, I see the heavens open and the Son of Man standing at the right hand of God." There must be something in this where Jesus was taken up. The more I read about it, I understand this. And then Paul, in that book of Romans that we studied about a year ago, that Pierre took several years to do, and it says in Romans chapter 8, "Who is he who condemns? It is Christ who died and furthermore is also risen, who is even at the right hand of God, who also makes intercession for us." That was the message of Paul. Then you go over to Ephesians chapter 1, verse 20. "He worked in Christ when he raised him from the dead and seated him at his right hand in the heavenly places." Colossians chapter 3, verse 1. If you were raised with Christ, seek those things which are above, where Christ is, sitting at the right hand of God. Hebrews chapter 1, verse 3. "Who being in the brightness of his glory and the express image of his person, upholding all things by his word of his power, when he had by himself purged our sins, sat down at the right hand of the majesty on high." There must be something in this about Jesus being taken up. Must be something in it. The scriptures go on and on and on. I just gave you a few. I love that one in Hebrews chapter 12, verse 2. "Looking unto Jesus, the author and the finisher of our faith, who for the joy that was set before him endured the cross, despising the shame, and has sat down at the right hand of the throne of God." There's something in this being taken up. Something in this. Until the day he was taken up. Praise God. I often wonder, you know, we'll be coming to the end of church pretty soon. It's like getting to the end of your peanut butter parfait. The last peanut is done. All the chocolate sauce is gone, and all you have is trying to get that. Have you ever tried to get that last little bit out? You want it all. You know, I often think these disciples, how many times did they think it was over? How many times did they think it was over? Was it over when Jesus suffered? Maybe they thought it was over when he was nailed to the cross. That's why they all started running. Maybe they thought it was over when he breathed his last and even said, it's finished. Maybe they thought it was over when he was laid to rest in the tomb. That's it. Maybe it was over when they rolled that big stone in front of the tomb. And wow, you know, when we go to gravesides and that casket is lowered in the ground and that finality of it all, and you walk away and the sorrow remains in your heart, but you know, it's, you know that that person is gone, that loved one. I can you imagine the feeling when that big stone was rolled in front of the grave and they walked away? Is it over? Is it over? Maybe even when they got back to the grave and they saw that, the question was going out, who stole the body? No. Is it over? But maybe even over when they saw him resurrected. Maybe now it's over. In every sense of having, you know, taken up, it's over. It's over. But it's never over. It's never over. Never over. Never over. As we'll see it in more in verses in Acts chapter 1. But taken up, the ascension, going up, whatever you want to call it. But it's important to understand, as the angel said in verse 9-11, this same Jesus will so come in like manner. Hallelujah. The disciples got to see him go up. We're going to see him coming down. Amen. Amen. Praise God. So understand that Jesus spoke just as much about his ascension as he did other things he was teaching. You understand that? He spoke just as much. You go to John chapter 13, verse 1. Now, therefore, the feast of the Passover, when Jesus knew that his hour had come, that he should depart from this world to the Father, having loved his own who were in the world, he loved them to the end. John chapter 13, verse 3, Jesus, knowing that the Father had given him all things into his hands and that he had come from God and was going to God. Many times you'll find these words. So these words up until the last day which he was taken up, they're intriguing words. And I sat there, you know, many days looking at this until the day he was taken up. And they intrigued me. They kind of bothered me in a good way, I guess, if you could say that. But everything here in 40 days until the day he was taken up. It stops in a sense, but in all reality, it still goes on. Right? Even though he was taken up, I mean, there's a sense that it stops, but yet in all reality, it goes on. So I want more of Jesus. I want more of Jesus. As I looked at this and figured that Jesus is trying to do something powerful here with these disciples. And I said, God, you're trying to do something with Cornwall Pentecostal Church. You know, I really believe he wants to do great things. He never gives up on anybody. Doesn't matter where we run and try to hide or anything else, he will never give up on us. And I really believe that God wants to do something to take us a little higher. You know, you might want to say, well, that was kind of neat, his body going up, and I want to go up physically. That would be kind of cool in the rapture. But, you know, while we're here, I like to go up spiritually. You know, I like to get stronger spiritually and everything. So as I look at this, I'm kind of feeling and sensing that he was taken up, but we're taken up with Jesus in a spiritual sense. He went up physically out of their sight, but yet spiritually speaking, Jesus is still here. That's why just in another 10 days from this moment, they would have the Holy Spirit empower them. And there would be such a powerful dynamic. Now remember the words of Jesus. It's to your advantage that I go, because I will send another, the Holy Spirit, the Comforter, the Guide, the powerhouse of the church. The Holy Spirit, amen. Oh, I'm getting goosebumps here. Think of that. Hallelujah. Hallelujah. So I want more. I want more. Do you want more? Worship team, would you come? We need more. Need more. You got a song entitled More? Sorry, Les, we've brought you a lot into this message this morning. Please forgive us. I want more. You want more? Hallelujah. Praise God. Praise God. Amen. Stand with me if you want. Hallelujah. This is it. I want more. So we need to pray. You know, George kind of alluded to this. We kind of get to that level of comfort. You know, that's it's comfortable here. Yeah, just where we are, you know. But I believe that God wants us to just step out of that comfort for a little bit. See what happens out of that box. See what happens out of there. Because, you know, you never know just what might happen when you get out of that comfortable zone, that comfortable area. You just never know what God might do. Like, you know, in that comfort box, you've got this box around you, the lid's on tight, and it's hard to get out and it's hard to get in. That's what Jesus is finding the problem with, that box. Jesus wants to get in. So like a cardboard box has those flaps. Start with the flaps. Cardboard box, sometimes they're really nice. They can be pushed out and ripped and all that. I don't know how you want to do it, but I just think we need that this morning. Amen. Would you stand with me? Father, I thank you this morning that more seems to be the enticing word here today. I pray that as we are here in church, that we come here maybe in our comfort zone, maybe feeling satisfied, maybe feeling adequate, but God, help us. You know, you're not going to do it for us. Help us to start pushing the walls out. Lord, you'll never tear down that box. If we've made our own little box and sit in it, you're not going to do anything to try and pull down the walls. If anybody's going to pull down the walls, it's got to be me. If I made my box around me, I've got to push down the walls if I want more of God. So the desire has to come from me. God, you've already made enough. You've already given enough. You've already done enough. There's nothing else more you could do. So I thank you, Lord. If there's any boxes here this morning, let the flaps start opening up. Let the walls start coming down. And let us get out of those comfort zones and say, God, I want more. I want more. I require more in this life to do more for you. I want to bring more in my life so I can give you more glory, more honor, more blessings in my life, Lord God, so that I would shine for you and be a blessing to you, Lord God. So God, go ahead, tear down the walls this morning, Lord God. Rip them down, Lord God. And as we begin to rip them down, Lord, you will pour in your Holy Spirit. And you'll say, you want more? I'll start turning on the tap. I'll start turning on the tap. Hallelujah. So God, go ahead and do that with people this morning. If people are hungry, Lord, just let them, as the psalm says, open your mouth wide and God will fill it. Open your mouth wide and God will fill it. Hallelujah. So go ahead and do that this morning. Ask God. Ask God. He will give to those who ask. He will give liberally to those who ask. Don't let the person beside you do all the asking. You ask. You ask this morning. You ask of God. You ask mightily. Ask big of God. Say, God, I need more. I want something big today, Lord. I want a big week this week. No more ordinary days. I want great days. Every day is a great day in you. Every day with Jesus is sweeter than the day before. So thank you, God. Thank you, God. Do it this morning in Jesus' name. Hallelujah. Hallelujah. Praise God. Go ahead, fire it off. Hallelujah. Amen. Hallelujah. Praise God. Hallelujah. I want more.
I'm so glad that the Lord saved me.
Yes.
If it had not been for Jesus, where would I be?
I'm so glad
that the Lord saved me.
I'm so glad.
Save me. I'm so glad that the Lord saved me.
That's yours, Elaine.
I'm so glad that the Lord saved me.
you're glad that Jesus saved you, then more is expected. Amen. And let's give him more. Amen. Father, thank you so much this morning for your blessing. You are so good. You're a good, good Father. And we thank you, Lord, for the family coming together, just in rejoicing, blessing, pouring out of your Spirit, touching us, living in us, Lord God. What more could we want? But we do want more. We do want more, Lord. So as we go from this place, Lord God, just go with us and just let us crave for more. Let us be addicted to Jesus. Addicted to Jesus. We just can't get enough of you, Lord God. Lord, we want more. We want more. We want more. So take with us our lives right now as we walk, as we drive, as we go to places, Lord God, be with us. Sustain us, keep us, but empower us with your Holy Spirit. In Jesus' name we pray. And everybody said, amen. Amen. He saved me. He saved me.
Okay.
On Wednesday.
Wednesday?
Yes.
Eric?